The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. This week, former President Donald Trump was elected for a second term in the White House. While votes were still being counted in some areas as we recorded this episode, it looked like Trump, the GOP candidate, won both the popular vote and the Electoral College in his race against Vice President Kamala Harris, the Democratic candidate. This race was an unusual one. The primary season was brief. Harris had to step in as the candidate after President Joe Biden dropped out, and then had to run the shortest campaign in history. Meanwhile, Trump faced both criminal charges and assassination attempts as he campaigned. When he's inaugurated in January, Trump will become the second president in history to serve non-consecutive terms. As one would imagine, Trump's MAGA base has been energized by his win. Liberals, on the other hand, have been left scratching their heads and feeling echoes of 2016 when Trump won the election but lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton. KCBS Radio's political reporter, Doug Sovereign, joined On Deadline to tell us what exit polls reveal about the 2024 election, what we might expect going forward, and more.
Let's take a look at voters who we wouldn't necessarily think of as Trump's base, who ended up voting for him. And Doug, you and I were talking about how some of these numbers are really surprising. They surprised me. They surprised you.
Yeah. And I really think what one thing Donald Trump has done here is redefine who has which base. I mean, this kind of reminds me of 1980 with Ronald Reagan, where he came in and suddenly people, you know, blue collar workers, union members, Southern Democrats who had been Democrats for decades became Republicans. And he just upended everything. And it really remade American politics. And we have to wonder if Donald Trump has started to do some of the same thing, because when you look at this, I mean, it's not this part is not unpredictable that men broke 55 to 42 for Trump, although that's a bigger spread than the polling suggested beforehand. And women broke 53 to 45 for Harris, and that's a narrower spread. I mean, there were a lot of polls beforehand that said women would be 10, 12, 14 points to the plus for Harris, and men were maybe 10 points for the men, for Trump. But actually, Trump's advantage among men was greater than her advantage among women, which is surprising. And then you look at, various demographic groups. Whites overwhelmingly voted for Trump. That's not a huge surprise, by 16 points. Harris got 85% of the black vote, which is a lot, but Democrats often get over 90. But the Latino vote really is surprising. It split. 52% for Harris, 46% for Trump. That's the closest it's ever been. There have been inroads, but that's almost to the point of it being an even split. And that made a huge difference. Same with the Asian population. It's 54-39 for Harris. But so, you know, whites went for Trump. Everybody else went for Harris, but not by enough among the Latino groups. And that's really surprising. And when you look at Latino men, I'm just trying to find that. Here it is. Latino men. And again, this is all from the exit polling data, asking people after they voted how they voted. And people do tend to be more honest in exit polling than they are beforehand. When they've actually voted, you get more accurate details typically. But Latino men broke for Trump 55 to 43. That's really surprising. And that was a difference maker in this election. And one other thing, young men broke for Trump very strongly. And Joe Biden won young men by a lot 4 years ago. But young men, narrowly 49 to 47 for Trump. But that was a 10 or 12 point gain for Biden last time. And as you get a little older, the groups break even more among men. All the groups of women broke for Harris, except women 45 to 64. That was an even split.
Interesting numbers, to say the least. About the surprise Latino men voting, do you think that is Trump himself, or does polling from some of the other races show that that demographic is becoming more conservative overall?
It's a combination of things. There are some more conservative Hispanics and Latinos in this country, the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, different parts of the country, where Arizona, where this is a more conservative electorate. There is some, obviously, Trump has a cult of personality. He has a particular appeal that other politicians can't match. And I think there is also some element of sexism there. And maybe even a little bit of racism on the part of some of the Latino voters don't want to vote for a Black / Asian candidate. But the fact that Harris is a woman of color hurt her among some constituencies of color, as we see here, but especially among men. There are a lot of men who just won't accept a woman as president. And, you know, it's so funny because back in 2008, I thought this country is racist in many ways and it's sexist in many ways. And I thought we were more racist than sexist. And that's why I thought Hillary Clinton would be the presidential nominee for the Democrats in 08. But in fact, it was Obama. And it turns out we are willing to elect a Black man president. We're not willing to have a woman. It's twice now that a woman has been the nominee, and she lost to Donald Trump in both cases, which is fairly extraordinary given his record with women.
Yeah, I remembered 2016 while I was watching these results coming in, and it definitely brought me flashbacks to that. So this is an even starker turn towards Trump, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, he's won the popular vote at the moment by 4%. It's 51 to 47. That'll probably tighten a little bit. Might end up being something like 3 points and not four. But he's going to win the popular vote, the first Republican to do so since George W. Bush in 2004, which is unbelievable. I mean, nobody thought that was going to happen. And yet it did. I mean, America, this is not a fluke of the Electoral College. America has said yes to Donald Trump. And you can't, no one can argue otherwise. It's not a stolen election. It's not a trick election. This is what happened. So the numbers are a little bit different. And I also think, you know, you have to be careful not to assign too much of this to racism and sexism. I mean, in both cases, Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris, there were other flaws in their candidacies and in their campaigns. Not so much in Harris's campaign. I think she ran a pretty smart one. But there were other things about them in particular, as opposed to a generic woman, that made them less likable than Trump and that made people embrace Trump instead. You know, it's very clear that many people in this country think the system is not working for them. They're unhappy about the economy. And Donald Trump is seen as a guy who comes in and blows things up. He's a disruptor. And they like that. You've got Elon Musk alongside him, you know, a huge disruptor. Now, he's the world's richest man, and Trump is a billionaire. So I remain baffled as to why people who rail against the elites and think things are stacked against them want to hand the keys to a couple of very rich men who are clearly elite, who do not think like them, represent them, have no experience of their life interests and experiences at all.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Severn also mentioned some other exit polling data that we might want to keep an eye on.
Two other things that really jumped out at me from the exit polling. 31% of the electorate said they were Democrats, 35% Republican, 34% independent. That's the first time independents have ever come out more than Democrats. Now, I don't know. This is, you know, this is a question. How do you think of yourself? So someone could be a registered Democrat, but say they're an independent. But turnout overall is lagging from 4 years ago. And that doesn't usually happen. More people should vote each time as population grows. There was a lag in turnout among Democrats, and some of that would be progressive, you know, young Democrats who were upset about Gaza, and so they couldn't bring themselves to vote. That, you know, they had something to do with Donald Trump winning, and I think that's part of the reason he won the popular vote, because at the moment he's getting about as many votes as he got last time, but the Democrat, in this case Harris, is getting less than Biden did. So I think a lot of Democrats didn't vote. And the other piece is first-time voters, people who did come out and vote who had never voted before, who tend to be younger, because obviously every time you have people who are 18, 19, 20, and 21 who've never been able to vote before, and it's their first time. First-time voters were about 8% of the electorate. They broke for Trump by 56 to 43%, which is huge. People who have voted before, it was 50 to 48% for Trump. So all those new first-time voters, the Democrats registered, the Republicans registered, young people coming out, they voted heavily for Donald Trump. And that really actually is a big piece of why he won.
So why has this change happened? Writing for the New York Times, Nate Cohn noted that voters seem disappointed with the status quo. Severn noticed this too.
There is a sense that people just don't like what's happening in the country. And Kamala, they didn't buy that Kamala Harris is the person who can change that. You know, they see Trump as this disruptor. She can run saying she's going to be different from Biden. I'm not Joe Biden. There's going to be change. But they saw her as part of the incumbent system. They saw her as the people in charge. If you're really going to do all these things you're saying you're doing, why haven't you been doing them? I mean, of course, she's the vice president. She wasn't setting policy. But that was the sense among a lot of voters, I think, that it wasn't necessarily so much pro-Trump or anti-Harris or she's a woman as it was throw the bums out. And if you look at this, we have now had three elections in a row where the unhappy electorate has said things are going badly. I want somebody else. They did it after Obama to go to Trump, after Trump to go to Biden, after Biden to go to Trump. So we haven't had three elections in a row where someone didn't win another term since the 1920s. I mean, it's been 100 years. So this is just sort of the mood of the electorate. I would not be surprised if 4 years from now, a Democrat is elected president.
You mentioned that Kamala had a pretty tight campaign, and it was really short. I believe the shortest campaign in history. Do you think this loss means that Democrats need to change up their messaging, pivot the party, change their policy positions, or do you think it was more a matter of circumstance?
I think it was more circumstance. You're going to see all kinds of soul searching and navel gazing and, whoa, you know, woe is me and gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands and all that stuff. She had 107 days, I think it was, to get her campaign together. I mean, I think in hindsight, I mean, I was really surprised when Joe Biden, who had said he'd be a transitional figure, he was the oldest president ever, when he made very clear in the first year of his presidency, he was going to run again. And I thought, really? And then the Democrats, nobody challenged him. I mean, they had a nominal challenge from Dean Phillips, but no, you know, there wasn't an open primary and no one wanted to go against him. And they figured it would be Trump again so they could beat him. But that was the first mistake the Democrats made, was allowing Joe Biden to think he could run again when clearly he aged very badly. Maybe, I don't know if COVID had anything to do with it or just, you know, being that age and being president. And they should have had, you know, 2 years ago, they should have had a normal primary process to come up with a, you know, through a rigorous challenge and come up with a viable candidate who could represent change, which is always hard to do. I mean, incumbent vice presidents, there's a reason why they rarely win. George Bush in 1988 was the first one in maybe since Jefferson, I'd have to go back a long, long time, to win, because you're running as the heir apparent to a president who was from the same party, and it just doesn't work very often. So she fell into the same thing that had befallen most prior incumbent vice presidents running to succeed their boss. So I just think that the Democrats, you know, that was an initial mistake. Yes, they need to figure out why they're not in better touch with so many people in the country who just don't think the way they do, who's, you know, people who reject their policies, who don't feel like they have a clear plan. But that said, 4 years ago, they elected Joe Biden. And they didn't feel like the Democrats didn't have a plan and couldn't get the job done. They were tired of Trump and they thought he had blown it.
And now that he's going to be president, come January. What do you realistically think we can expect? It seems like he might even have unfettered control with support in the Senate and the House.
Well, we don't know, because how much of what he said does he really mean? How much of it will he get to do? Now, he's going to have the Senate. That's going to be at least 53-47 Republican, and it could be still 54 or 55. The House remains up for grabs. Right now, it looks like he is going to win the House. The Republicans are. Last time I checked, there was a net gain of one or two for the Republicans. I don't know where we are now, but it's going to take a while because we have half a dozen seats in California that won't be decided for a few days. But the Democrats are not leading in any of those, so they might end up pulling out one or two or three, but it looks to me like the Republicans are going to win the House and the Senate and the White House. So they'll have unified, complete control of the government. And that means he can do much of what he wants. Now, they won't have 60 in the Senate. And Mitch McConnell has said they won't get rid of the filibuster, but they might, you never know. So he may not be able to get everything he wants. And the House will be very closely divided. And so they won't always have everything they want, but he'll be able to do a lot. And how much of it did he mean? I mean, think of what he told America. This is what he would do. He's going to close the border. He's going to deport millions of undocumented immigrants. He says he won't sign a national abortion ban, but we'd see if one actually came to his desk. He's going to raise tariffs. He's going to cut taxes for the rich and for corporations, and so on down the line. He wants to dismantle, bring in Elon Musk to like take apart the federal government, lay off lots of workers. You name it. There's a whole bunch of stuff he wants to do. Whether he'll actually do all of it or try to do all of it, we're going to have to see. But I would take some of it at his word, because if he doesn't, there are all these people who just voted for him because they want things changed. They think the system is broken. They want it changed. So if he doesn't do it and live up to those promises, they're going to turn on him awfully quickly.
There are also concerns about these wars internationally. There's the war in Ukraine, which right. North Korea just joined. And then there's also the war in the Middle East, which has now kind of grown to include Iran more directly, in addition to Israel and Gaza. So he has been pretty outspoken about those. But he's also said that he doesn't like war, and he boasts about how there were no wars during his administration. So what do you think we can expect on that front?
I think he's going to want to end those as quickly as possible so he can keep saying that. Unfortunately, in the case of Ukraine, that may mean just handing it to Putin. I mean, he's going to try to broker some sort of deal where the U.S. pulls all its aid and Russia gets to keep the Crimea and everything else they've taken so far. And that's going to be, it seems to me, his solution is to let Putin win. In Israel, he's going to side very strongly with Netanyahu in Israel. I don't want to be flip about it and say he wants to, put up a shopping mall in Gaza, but I think he would just as soon see the Hamas and the Palestinians, lose as quickly as possible. So that's one of the things that really struck me. Again, it kind of goes with the people who say, I hate the elites, so I'm voting for Trump and I want Musk in charge. The large number, apparently, of progressive young Democrats who said, and I saw some interviews to this effect, I'm sorry, I can't vote for genocide, so I'm not voting for Kamala Harris. And as a result, Donald Trump is president. Now, I'm not sure why they think having Trump is better for the Palestinians, because it's clearly not going to be. But maybe, there's some hope of peace talks. There were the Abraham Accords. I mean, maybe there could be some sort of deal worked out on Trump's watch. I think that's what he's going to aim for, is maybe he'll have more clout with getting Israel to move in that direction. But it does seem to me that this does not bode well for the Palestinian cause in Gaza, or for the Ukrainian cause in their own homeland. And think about this. If he's going to let Russia take Ukraine, what's to stop China from taking Taiwan? I don't think he's going to be interventionist there either. So he's going to have an anti-interventionist, isolationist, not very supportive of NATO policy that's going to leave a lot of these places hung out to dry. And he wants to withdraw and, focus on America first, as he puts it. And his voters would be just fine with that.
So do you have any ideas about how the media can win back the electorate's trust when they're getting, news from all these different sources?
I don't think it can. I think that ship has sailed. I think that this will be another black eye for the media, because the people who voted for Trump will say, look, see, the media is biased. You live in a bubble. You don't get it. look how sad the people are on CNN and MSNBC, while the ones on Fox gloat. I think people will become more balkanized. They'll go to their sources. This moves them further away from the New York Times and CNN and CBS and all the rest of us, because they don't see us as representing their truth. What they see around them is not what they see in their TV, here on their radio, see in their newspaper. You know, we strive very much to be down the middle and neutral and objective, but they don't see it that way. And I think the media has to take a hard look. The pollsters were not that far off on this one, if you consider that many of them had it essentially a dead heat and said it could go, you know, one way or the other. That's what happened. I mean, it went 3 or 4 points to Trump, and that's true in all those swing states. It's 2 or 3 points. And so actually the polls were not that far off this time. There were some that were way off. The CNN polls were way off in the swing states. This company out of Brazil, Atlas Intel, pretty much nailed it for the second election in a row. But I do think that, you know, the media is not seen. And now we're going to have a president who calls the media the enemy of the people and says things like he wouldn't mind if somebody shot some of them. I mean, that is not helpful. And that's going to worsen the attitude people have. And I expect a fairly antagonistic relationship between Trump and the media, because he doesn't tell the truth. And when the media calls him out on it, they're accused of bias. But that's our job, is to call you out when you don't tell the truth.
We want to give special thanks to our guest and friend of the show, KCBS political reporter Doug Sovern. The On Deadline podcast is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thank you for listening to this special post-election day edition of On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of top news just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.